The reporting and the resources behind the stories you hear on WSHU depends on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm All Things Considered host Randy Kay. Your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face daily challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for your support.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. More than 1,000 crashes have taken place at the Route 15 I-91 interchange since construction began 2 years ago. The clock is ticking for Long Island districts to publish their so-called distraction-free policies, plus a look at the indispensable labor of being a family caregiver. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Major construction has been underway on the I-91 Route 15 interchange in Meriden for nearly 2 years. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports more than 1,000 crashes have taken place at that site since they broke ground.
Before construction began, the interchange was described by state officials as one of the worst bottlenecks in the state. By 2030, it's expected to have wider multi-lane ramps and new entrance and exit lanes. The $500 million project is largely covered by the federal government. But according to data reported by Hearst from the Connecticut Crash Data Repository, the construction is causing problems. There have been more than 1,200 crashes at the site since work began in 2023. Officials have been reminding drivers to slow down, expect delays, and move over for construction workers and their vehicles. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Long Island school districts have a little over a month left to publish their so-called distraction-free policies. The ban on smart devices in classrooms is set to begin this fall. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports.
Schools have until August 1st to lay out rules for how the new bell-to-bell cell phone ban will work. That includes policies for storage and enforcement. New York Governor Kathy Hochul visited school board members in Hicksville this week and made a prediction about the ban's future impact.
Ultimately, 1 year from now, everybody who had concerns or worries about this will understand that our kids are emerging healthier and happier with better mental health outcomes, and that's why we're doing this. It's all about our children.
New York is one of the largest states in the country to ban smart devices during the school day. Hochul says going distraction-free will be a dramatic change, but says she expects it to improve learning outcomes and reduce anxiety in children and teens. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Cases of mosquito-borne diseases are showing up earlier in the year than usual. Just last week, the first mosquitoes with West Nile virus were found in New England more than a week earlier than last year. Dan Guzman takes a look at what that means and what it doesn't.
The number of cases of West Nile and Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or Triple E, are rising each summer. Experts say that climate change-induced increases in rainfall and temperatures are making it worse.
Those are both things that support mosquito populations and actually make the mosquitoes more efficient at spreading virus.
That's Dr. Catherine Brown, state epidemiologist for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. She warns early detection does not mean it'll be a rough summer.
It's just way too early for us to say what the whole season is going to look like.
Her best advice is to wear bug repellent and cover your skin as best you can. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Dan Guzman.
Family caregivers in our region and beyond are laboring, often alone and unpaid, for those they love. That story is ahead. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Beginning July 13th, WSHU is adding two new music programs to your Sunday nights. Start with Fiesta and the expressive sounds of Latin American and Spanish composers. then stay for Concierto, a bilingual celebration of classical music's rich Hispanic heritage. Hear Fiesta and Concierto Sunday nights on WSHU starting July 13th. You can explore the full schedule online at WSHU.org.
The New York Civil Liberties Union is suing Nassau County. They say it broke state law by allowing local police to act like federal immigration agents. The county made a deal with ICE, giving county detectives the power to arrest people for immigration violations. The state of Connecticut is giving Bridgeport $200,000 to build a walking and bike path in the city's East Side neighborhood. Right now, people can only view the water from a distance along Waterview Avenue. The new pathway would give them access to the waterfront, stretching from Waterview Park down to the Steel Point Harbor area. Suffolk County is flying a flag for Veterans Suicide Awareness. County buildings will fly the flag to recognize mental health challenges in the military. County Executive Ed Romaine says the flag is in honor of service members who die by suicide, and he hopes it'll reduce the stigma associated with mental health care. Every day across the country, family members provide care to loved ones. It's indispensable labor that's often invisible to the outside world. Sujata Srinivasan brings us the story of a mother and daughter in Bridgeport.
Happy birthday to you.
It isn't anyone's birthday, but it's the only song Valerie Jones can remember.
Happy birthday.
Jones is 87. She has breast and bladder cancer, but she doesn't know it. That's because she also has Alzheimer's. Turning to a woman standing nearby, she asks,
"So your name is what?"
"Cookie."
Jones shakes her head.
No. You're not my Cookie.
The woman is, in fact, Cookie Jones, Valerie's 60-year-old daughter, and she is one of more than 100 million family caregivers across America, laboring, often alone and unpaid, for those they love.
I'm not sure you could find somebody who hasn't either been a caregiver themselves or know someone who's a caregiver.
That's Deborah Barrett from Utsuka, a healthcare company that studies family caregiving.
And yet the work and the sacrifice and the support that caregivers are giving is oftentimes not seen.
If unpaid care was a business, America's family caregivers combined would make more money than Walmart, Apple, or Amazon. That's according to a Columbia University study commissioned by Utsuka.
I'm happy it's a lark.
I love you too.
And you look pretty.
Cookie's been a caregiver these past 10 years in this rented townhouse. At the time, she was raising two sons as a single mom. Putting Valerie in a nursing home was never an option. Cookie says her mother never wanted to.
Every day, I get her up, I take her into the bathroom, and I put her on the toilet, and I clean her. Some days, I let her brush her teeth. I put the toothpaste on there, and I stand in there, and I just let her, because I don't want to take everything from her.
Cookie feels isolated, so she talks to herself in a video diary. Pulling out her cell phone, she shows a day in her life.
Sunday, June 1st, 2025. This is the diarrhea my mother has all over my floor. Her diaper is covered. This is what I had to clean up. I don't have help.
Across America, caregivers like Cookie are struggling with isolation and exhaustion, says Jody Kane Pike with the Caregiver Action Network. The group supports caregivers through a free help desk hotline. Some call and just want to vent, she says.
Burnout is huge, and that's what a lot of people call for. They need somebody to talk to.
Kane Pike says not many people know that they can get paid by Medicaid to take care of a loved one.
These are my mannequins here. These are the shoes. And they're beautiful shoes I have.
Back at Cookie's house, the basement is stacked with boxes, hats, scarves, sweaters. Cookie explains she quit her job at a shoe store where she worked for more than 30 years to be a full-time caregiver. She's been wanting to open a consignment shop. There's a basement full of inventory sitting in boxes for decades.
I really was ready. I really, really, really wanted to do this, and it really hurts me that I cannot go forth.
She says her savings are gone and the pair now live on Valerie's social security income.
I'm at the end of my financial thread. I was without a car for a whole month. My car died. I didn't have anyone.
But her mom has her.
Me and my mom have always been close from childhood. It's no regrets. Literally, she was welcomed 101%.
Today, Valerie might not remember who she is, but Cookie remembers, with love, her once fiercely independent mother. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Sujata Srinivasan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. If you're not already, please give us a follow on Instagram for some behind the scenes here at the station. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio, nice and easy. And as always, send any thoughts or story ideas our way via email. It's news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.